Good morning. It's a blessing to see each one today. What a special privilege it always is to gather with the people of God, around the throne of God, to praise Him for who He is and for all that He's done. And what a blessing to be here with all of you today. Thank you so much for the invitation and the opportunity. And I appreciate being able to work with this congregation in some limited way for a few days this week. Looking forward to working with these men that are here this week and with the teachers of all the Vacation Bible School classes. It's going to be an exciting week. I look forward to what I'm getting to teach, and I know that all the teachers look forward to that as well. I want to thank Bo and Deanna for putting me up this week, and they're very special friends, and I appreciate them as well. One of the dearest words in our language is family. People that we're so close to. I'm thankful for my parents, my in-laws, my sister, my brothers-in-law, my sisters-in-law, my aunts, uncles, cousins, nieces, nephews, the whole nine yards. But of all the people that I'm thankful for that I'm connected to so strongly because I'm a part of their family are, of course, my children, all three of them, two daughters by birth, one son-in-law, the last 5 years by marriage. I'm thankful for my connection to all of them, but and then there's the connection I have with my wife. And by the way, Kelly sends her regrets. She wished she could have been here with us this week too, but she was not able to come this time. But those connections, those family connections are so special because they give us a place. They give us a connection to people that helps identify who we are. It helps strengthen us in what we do. It gives us purpose as we go through life. And you know what? There's work to do. There's work to do. You're raising your kids. There's work to do. You're married. There's work to do. But it's work that is special and it's sweet and it strengthens us all. It helps us realize just how fortunate we are to have those kinds of connections. And because we understand so well what family connection is all about, we understand even better why Scripture uses the illustration as it talks about our connection to God as we are His family. Ephesians 5, we are the bride of Christ. Many passages, we are the children of God. But as you talk about this family connection we have with God, it talks about how special we are to Him. It talks about how special He is to us. And it also speaks to just how much important work it took on His part to make that happen. And how much important work there is on our part to respond appropriately as His bride, as His family. And of course, when you talk about the family of God, when you talk about the bride of Christ, when you talk about the sons and daughters of God, you're talking about the church. I know Bruce has had a couple of lessons here lately on the church, and I haven't gotten to listen to them yet, but I have no doubt they're very, very good lessons, and I look forward to listening to those. We're going to go in a little different direction today, though, that is rooted in the principles of those things that he's been talking about as he's been talking about the church. You know, the word church is found a number of times in your New Testament. I use the New King James Version, and it's found 107 times in the New King James Version. But as you look at those many passages where it's found, about 90 of those are references to the local church. Now, usually it's like the church at Jerusalem or the church at Ephesus or something like that. But about 90 of those are references to the local church. But whether you're looking at the church in the universal sense or the church in the local sense, you're looking at basically two things. You're looking at the importance that the church has in the plan of God. And you're looking at what a vital blessing it is to be a part of the church in both senses. To have our names written in heaven, to be a part of the church in the universal sense, whether we live in Sulphur Springs or Conway, Arkansas or Seoul, South Korea, it doesn't matter where we are, we're a part of the church in the universal sense and how special that is. But then as we talk about the local congregation and what a vital blessing it is for us to see the importance God places on our connection in a local fellowship. And that's what I want to talk with you about today. But to prepare for that, all true disciples keep several things in mind. One of those I would mention to you is that all true disciples are part of the church in the universal sense. All of us have our names written in heaven. Secondly, all true disciples seek local church membership. You know, if that was important to the Apostle Paul as he goes to the city of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 9, then that's going to be pretty important for you and me as well. All true disciples seek a connection with the local church membership. And third of all true disciples seek to work well with elders. Elders are the shepherds of the flock. And to work well in that kind of relationship. Elders in every church, Acts 14:23. And to submit to the leadership of the elders, Hebrews chapter 13. All true disciples seek those things. But the one I want to pay attention to today is that all true disciples seek to work closely with other church members. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I realize this is not primarily about the local church, but understand, as we read the principles that are being discussed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this connection we have to Christ, and thus this connection we have to one another, is often borne out in the local church arrangement. And the principles that we're looking at in this passage are often fleshed out in our local church arrangement. And of course, he writes to the congregation at Corinth, and they have a lot of troubles that are affected by these principles as they're not following these principles. So there's that as well. But read with me, beginning with verse 14. We could read the entire chapter. But verse 14 says, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' therefore, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Can you imagine a big nose? Well, he couldn't walk around because he wouldn't have legs. But can you imagine a big nose and that's all it was? Well, couldn't eat, couldn't hear, couldn't see, couldn't walk, couldn't reach out and grab anything. All he could do is smell. Even if he's in the room with an amazing smelling meal, all he could do is just smell the aroma. He couldn't even eat it if it was just a nose. Imagine if the body of Christ, think about the local congregation in particular, imagine if the body of Christ was only one particular kind of talent. And so you have someone who is an excellent song leader like Todd Dennis, and that's all you had. You didn't have anybody who could teach the Bible, nobody who could evangelize, nobody who could be an elder or a deacon. Nobody who could teach the little kids. All you had was a guy who could lead singing. And everybody could do exactly the same thing and do it as well as he does, but that's all you had. Well, that's his point. That's not the way the Lord set the body up. And it wouldn't work if he did. There's variety. We all have a purpose. We all have a place. And whatever our place is, it is important. And all of us need all of us in order for that to work as God intends for it to be. So, in verse 22, "No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." But you know, when you think about especially in a local church setting, which is what I want to emphasize today. And you think about the different aspects of the body, the local body, and the different functions that we have. There are some very misguided mentalities that exist. Just on a practical level, some very misguided mentalities where people look at the local church, but they're looking at it in a skewed point of view, and they don't see it as God arranged it and how we should look at one another and the blessing of being a part of a local congregation, but rather they have a skewed view. And I want to talk about some of those. The first one I want to mention to you is a club mentality. Some people have a club mentality of the local congregation. That is, they look at the local congregation with this mindset, okay, I pay my dues. I dropped my money in the plate just a few minutes ago, in fact, and because I do that, I receive the following services. Wedding chapel, funeral chapel. Some congregations, they provide things like places for parties, recreation, gymnasiums, workout facilities, financial counseling, mental health counseling. Just go down the list of all the services that a lot of people look to the local church for today. In fact, how common is it for us to hear as people are inquiring about the local congregation? I'm sure Bruce has heard this a million times. I know that I have. Okay, now what all do you guys offer? What all do you offer? So I'm willing to pay my dues, but what do you guys offer? And they're looking for carnal aspects like that. You know, if you're a member of the country club, you pay your monthly dues and you can play golf and you can play tennis and you can go eat in the restaurant and you can use the workout facility and you can use the banquet hall. You have all these services that you can partake of. And some people look at the local congregation the same way. That's not how God set us up. God didn't set us up where we pay our dues and then we get all these benefits, but rather it is like family. We work together closely in the will of God so that we help each other follow Him. We help each other grow strong in Him. We help each other be well equipped to reach out to those who aren't Christians, that we may teach them the gospel. The club mentality is not the biblical picture of the local church. But there's another, maybe kind of related to this, but that's the proxy mentality. Now that goes like this. A proxy is where somebody says, okay, now, I paid my financial contribution to the church, and I give generously, somebody says, and so now the church is going to do all my evangelism for me. See, by proxy, I handed it off to somebody else. The church is going to do all of my edification for me. The church is going to do all my benevolence for me. And I've heard that 100 times. Yeah, but I give to the church for that. You know, some guys in need. Well, I don't need to do what I can to help somebody else because the church takes care of that for me. I gave to the church. In fact, you're not going to believe this. You're really not. I had a guy tell me this one time. He said, now, Shane, if the church helps somebody, God gets the glory. But if an individual helps somebody, then they get the glory. So see, the church ought to do all that. See, I told you wouldn't believe it. Somebody actually told me that one time. Now, wait a minute. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5? He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When we do good works the way God wants us to do, as individuals, we do good works God wants us to do. We're not pointing to ourselves, we're pointing to our Father who is in heaven. Anyway, proxy mentality. And so it goes like this. I give generously to the church so the church can do all these things for me. And in fact, we pay a preacher for that. I don't need to evangelize because we pay a preacher for that. Well, we don't support gospel preachers so they can do our evangelism for us. We support gospel preachers so they can help us learn, grow, be strengthened, and be equipped so we can do in our lives day by day, not just Sunday morning. We can do in our lives day by day what God wants us to do as well as we possibly can. And it's not the preacher's job to do our job for us. It's the preacher's job to try to strengthen us, equip us, teach us, so we're well equipped to go out in the world and do whatever God wants us to do. That's the preacher's job. Now let me tell you something, guys. I'm sure you realize this. You are blessed with one of the most capable gospel preachers and teachers in the brotherhood. And I'd say that if he wasn't my best friend, if he wasn't sitting there. One of the most capable gospel preachers in the brotherhood. But as equipped as he is to teach the Word of God, he doesn't know all the people you know. And he doesn't have the connection with the people that you have the connection to. Consequently, he can't reach out to everybody like it's supposed to be done. Because the way it's supposed to be done is every one of us teaching our families. Every one of us trying to teach our neighbors. Every one of us looking for opportunities to teach the Word of God. And you can't pay somebody else to do your work for you. It doesn't work that way. Thank God for teachers, for preachers, for elders, for deacons, for Bible class teachers who work hard to do whatever it is they do in the work that God has given them to do to help equip the rest of us so we're even better equipped to do what God wants us to do as well. We need the hands to work. We need the feet to work. But the hands don't work as well unless the feet are working well. And as we work together, we grow stronger and are better equipped to do what God wants us to do. Next one is an outsider mentality. This is where people refer to the congregation, of which they are a member, as, yeah, they're putting on a vacation Bible school this week. Wait a minute. That's not about they, or somebody says, yeah, you guys up there, what, aren't you a member here? Why are you saying they? And as we say in Texas, I think y'all say it here too, y'all are doing this and y'all are doing it. Wait a minute, it's we and it's us. It's not this distant type relationship. But some people look at the local congregation as if they're outsiders. Everything's going on over there and I'm outside looking in. And yeah, that's kind of interesting that there was, but I'm not a part of it. No, if you're a member of a local congregation, you're a part. You're a part. This shows distance and a lack of connection and a lack of involvement, and it shows disengagement. 26 and a half years ago, I bought a Snapper lawnmower on the $25 a month grandma plan. In other words, Kelly's grandmother bought a lawnmower which she had no business using. She had a drop-off in her front yard, probably a little taller than this. And imagine this 70-something-year-old lady who judgment about physical things is not always the greatest. Imagine her riding that lawnmower and what would happen if she misjudged on the edge. It wouldn't have worked out well. So my father-in-law said, "Don't you ever use that mower again." And sold it to me. So I bought it. And $25, anyway, it took a while. Paid that thing off, and I'm still using it today. Still using it today. But you know, I know about this lawnmower. I sit down on the seat, and it's got a lever. And I take that lever, and I push it forward, and then it has something to put my feet on to hold it, and I engage. I engage the blade, and then I can mow something. If that blade stays disengaged, no grass gets cut. And if a member of a local church is disengaged, that member of the local church is not going to do what God wants them to do. God wants us all engaged, that we may work together, that we may work well, and that we don't have this outsider mentality. Because sometimes people look at it like this. It's elders versus the congregation. It's the preacher versus the elders. It's the elders versus the deacons. It's members who've been there for a long time versus the new members. You know, the new members don't really fit in, right? Some people actually view it that way, believe it or not. Or it's, Hatfields versus McCoys. Hog Callers versus, I've been told LSU is not exactly the most acceptable thing in these parts among many. Just fill in the blanks. You know, sometimes people look, it's not supposed to be like that. But when Deanna and I were talking last night, can you imagine in the first century if they did things the way they're often done in our culture today? You would not have Jews and Gentiles in the same congregation. You'd have the Jewish congregation and you'd have the Gentile congregation. And that's the way it would be. And they would be disengaged from one another rather than working together. We need to be apart and work together. Somebody says, yeah, but you know, I just can't do some things as well as some other people can. And so, you know, let the people that are best equipped do that all the time. Well, you know what? The people who are best equipped are people who are not just equipped with talent, but equipped with an attitude, a godly attitude, and a brotherly spirit who want to help everyone grow to reach the potential that they have to do the work that God would have us do. And so somebody says, I could never, maybe I need to put myself on this list, I could never do a VBS preparation like is being done back here in the back. And by the way, if you haven't, this is my first time to see this, and they're not even through putting it together yet. If you've never seen that before, you need to come this afternoon and after the worship, wander around and say, wow, look at what's going on. So somebody says, I could never do it like that, so I'm just not going to get involved. Okay, two things. Number one, you're not expected to do everything to the level that maybe somebody else can. That's not the point. Do the best you can. Secondly, if there's somebody who is really talented at something like that, then go up to them and say, hey, I appreciate what you're doing. How can I help you do that? And I suspect you'd probably get takers to help get involved in those things. We need to be apart by looking to see what we can do rather than this outsider mentality that separates us from what the local church is. The next one is child-centered. And it is true that a local church can and should have a positive impact on our children, in our assemblies, in our Bible classes, in the way that we treat each other as disciples of the Lord. You know, to have a positive impact on our children. But some people view the church as responsible for raising their children. So I've heard this before. Yeah, I tell you what, my kids did not turn out very well because we had a preacher, we had elders, we had deacons, we had Bible class teachers, we had song leaders. Just go down the list. There were people in that congregation that did not do what they were supposed to do, so my kids didn't turn out right. Well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Whose job is it to raise my kids? I appreciate any positive help that elders or preachers or Bible class teachers give my children. I appreciate that very much. But when it comes right down to it, it's not your job to raise my kids. It's mine and Kelly's job to raise my kids. And I tell you what, if the atmosphere is so bad in a local congregation that people are acting in an unbiblical fashion so that it is going to have a detrimental impact on my children, and I've tried to work it out, can't work it out, it's not going to work out, okay, well, what am I going to do? I'm probably going to move somewhere else. But that's usually not what we're looking at here. Usually what we're looking at is that there are people in our culture who want others to raise their children for them. And so having a child-centered approach to the congregation is what they're looking for. Somebody close to me, living in the Dallas Metroplex, moved to a new town and was looking for a congregation. And by the way, they're not picky about what kind of congregation. It doesn't matter to them. They're just looking for anything. And so they said, yes, we went to this one and said, our son, who at the time was probably 10 or 11, he really liked it there, so that's where we went. Well, it's not the church's job to entertain our children, not even to raise our children. It's the parents' job But all of us can have an impact on the atmosphere of a congregation so that we're all better equipped to have a positive impact on the children. Let me mention this one, though, and that is a spectator mentality. A spectator mentality. This is where people describe the church as something they merely go to rather than being a vital part of. And I'll hear people describe the assemblies of the church as like they're going to a movie or a sporting event or a concert. You know, you've heard people say before, yeah, I went to this concert and I just didn't really enjoy the music. I just didn't really enjoy the music that much. Or I went to this sporting event and the seats were hard and our team was getting beaten really badly and I just didn't have a really good experience. So I left early. Some people describe the local church, the assemblies of the church, like that as well. You know, the song leader, the preacher, and got this long list of critique. The guy that led the prayer, I tell you, he led a prayer that was so short, I'm not sure he even got to heaven before he said amen. I mean, it's such a short prayer. And then next time around, and then they say, well, you know, this guy, he led this prayer, and it was so long, everybody nearly fell asleep before he got through. And so they're complaining about it too short on one end, too long on the other end, and they're critics. It's almost like they have their scorecard. Okay, the preacher gets up to preach, and I got my scorecard here. Okay, let's see. How does he do? You know what? He had a pretty good illustration. That's pretty good. Yeah, but no, it's too long for one thing. And it's all about criticism rather than about saying, I am a part. I am a part. But I've heard people say before, I tell you, I just didn't get anything out of the song service. I didn't get anything out of the sermon. I didn't get anything out of the Bible class. I just don't get anything out of being a part of that congregation. Okay, well, how much did you give? I'm not talking money here. How much did you give? What about your heart, your soul? Were you seeking to be a giver as you came? We don't need to have a spectator mentality. We need to have one where we are participants. But here's the bottom line. These misguided mentalities really go back to the idea of treating the local church as a convenience rather than as a commitment. You know, it's easy for me if I go to the movies and I buy a ticket and I buy popcorn and I buy peanut M&Ms if they don't have Goobers, which are really better, and I buy something to drink. It's really easy. I go to the movie and I sit there and I've got all this stuff and I eat and I watch and there is zero commitment. If that movie is a total disaster, okay, well, that didn't work out too well for me, did it? Maybe I'll pick a better one next time. There's zero commitment. But when you're a part of a local church, it's not like going to the movie theater. It is where we say, oh, we're a family. We're a body. I need to watch out for the spiritual well-being of the men, women, boys, and girls who are part of this congregation. I need to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I need to look to see what I can do to encourage someone who is downtrodden, to strengthen someone who is weak, to try to help someone who is drifting to be anchored, steady, not drifting. To look at someone who maybe doesn't have a strong connection to somebody in the congregation, but I'm going to make sure they've got a connection to somebody, so I'm going to connect with them so they feel more a part of who we are as a local body in Christ. The local church is not about convenience. It is about commitment. But as we look at this passage, and I want to go back to the chapter and look at some things by way of conclusion. These misguided mentalities have the local church turned upside down in a lot of places and in a lot of ways. And if I'm not careful, I'll be guilty of some of these misguided mentalities that contribute to things in the local church not being as God would have them. But there are ways to overcome that. And in our text, we have these ways that are mentioned. First of all, we overcome these misguided mentalities by realizing that we are part of one another. Remember in the text when it says in verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" You know, foot and hand are different. They do different jobs. but they're part of the same body. We're part of one another. We need each other. My feet can carry me from here to there, but my feet are not really well equipped. I know there are exceptions where people learn to do this extremely well, but my feet are not really equipped that well to pick up a book and to turn its pages. But my hands and my feet working together can do a lot of things. We are part of one another, just as the hands and feet are all part of the same physical body. Secondly, we are partners with God and partners with one another. That's what fellowship is. We are partners with God and partners with one another. That is, we are working God's will as we work together. And our commitment and relationship with God is reflected in our commitment and relationship with one another. Again, imagine the hand or the foot saying, I'm just not really involved with the body. I'm not in fellowship with the body. I'm just going to hang there and not do anything. That's not the way hands work. The way hands work are, they're in partnership, fellowship with the rest of the body. And in the body of Christ, we are connected to our head, who is Christ. Thus, fellowship with Him and working with Him in His will. And we're at the same time connected to one another. And so we work together so that the things God wants us to do, we are able to accomplish. Next of all, we are Christ's church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It belongs to Christ. Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ greet you. The local congregations, wherever they were, He said those congregations belong to Christ. And so the way that we treat one another and the way that we work together and the attitude with which we view the local congregation must be through the lenses of how does Christ want us to view this relationship? How does Christ want us to work together in this relationship? But back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the key is agape love. The key is agape love. Three things about that I'll mention to you. One of those is compassion. In verse 21, he talks about compassion we have for one another as we love each other with agape love. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor the hand, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker. Somebody says, yeah, Shane, there's just not a lot that I can do. Okay, but let's not focus on the lot that you can't do. Let's focus on the things that you can. Somebody says, I tell you what, I may can only be a little pinky in the local congregation, but I'm going to be the best little pinky I can be. That's the way we should view this. And as we look at one another, because it's not just this idea of somebody looking at himself and saying, there's just not a lot I can do. Sometimes you have people that look at folks and say, okay, that person really struggles. Well, then the rest of us need to be on board to try to help them. And so there's this sense of compassion, this sense of others need me. There are people who are downtrodden in this congregation because they're in every congregation who need you. Need you. There are people who are lonely. There are people who are discouraged. There are people who are hurting physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, spiritually. There are people hurting in this congregation who need you. And you alone can't help them all, but you can help somebody. You can help somebody. And that kind of compassion, where we're looking to see who needs help, and helping them, is vital in overcoming this misguided concepts. Then at the end of chapter 12, Paul says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. He's been talking about miraculous gifts here. It's true. And we don't have those today, but we do have natural gifts. Make use that we can, as best we can, of the gifts that we have. He says, but then I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And what is the more excellent way?
Verse 4, love. Love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Verse 8, love never fails. In other words, we need this passion, this commitment. Commitment to Christ, commitment to one another to alleviate the misguided mentalities. And then finally, the most important connection of all is our connection to Jesus Himself. You know, you go back to chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one, in Christ we are one, but has many members. There are many of us who are part of the body of Christ." He says, "But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body." He says, that's the way Christ is. He says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." It is our connection to Jesus that connects us to one another and helps us overcome these many misguided concepts that are out there. And you know, this week there is a unique opportunity for this to just shine. And for this to shine in the greater strength of this congregation. And for the influence of this congregation to shine in this community in teaching the Word of God, and that is through Vacation Bible School. You know, you look at the things that are being done, and these teachers have put an amazing amount of time into what they've prepared. And what they'll be preparing, probably, if they're like me, until 10 o'clock in the morning when it starts. A tremendous amount of time. And in whatever way that we can encourage them, whether it's helping them or whether it's words of encouragement if the works are done, what an amazing opportunity it is to strengthen this congregation and to try to reach out to others. But the church, and especially we've talked about the local church today, the church is a commitment that we have to the Lord through His Word. It is not a convenience. And what a blessing. Because as you look at the local church and you look at our work together, we have a place. We have a place. Maybe we're a hand, maybe we're a nose, but we have a place. We have a connection. We have people who love the Lord and consequently love us that we can work with, that we can grow stronger with, and that we can help strengthen. What a blessing that is. And it may be that this morning that you need prayers from this congregation. You're struggling. And you may be the only one besides the Lord who knows about the struggle that you face. If you need prayers from this congregation, make it known. If you've sinned that's public in its reputation and you need to deal with that, make it known. If you never obeyed the Lord, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, and He'll add you to His church. And this congregation will seek to strengthen you in His most holy will. But in whatever way we can assist, we hope you'll come as we stand and sing.